91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour is devoted to the South Florida theater scene with two prominent figures. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We'll visit with journalist and longtime Miami Herald theater critic Christine Dolan, who still regularly writes about her theater passion, including on the media platform service Artburst. She'll join us to discuss her new outlets, as well as reminisce about her 40-year career. And Joseph Adler, he's been a dynamo on the theater and film scene for decades, with a Clio and 59 Carbonell Awards. For the past 18 years, he's been the producing artistic director of Gable Stage at the Biltmore. And more to come. He'll be at the helm of the historic Coconut Grove Playhouse when it reopens. Stay tuned. Topical Currents next after the news. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Tuesday edition. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you. So today's program is about the South Florida theater scene with two quite important figures. They've been at its heart here for decades.
First, theater and film veteran Joseph Adler, who's been the producing artistic director at Gable Stage the past 18 years. It's a long-running endeavor with a reputation for cutting-edge productions at the famed Biltmore Hotel since 1999. Welcome.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
He's also involved with the upcoming resumption of performances at the historic Coconut Grove Playhouse. More of that to come. Welcome to you, Joe Adler.
Thanks very much, Joe.
And also joining us is former Miami Herald theater critic Christine Dolan. She's been around the stage since childhood. She was the Herald theater critic for 36 years and still writes for several outlets, including Artburst Miami, which is picked up by the Herald, and the Sun Sentinel. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I just want to say, before we start our conversation, how great it is to have you both. And I'm thinking how unusual it really is to have you from both sides of the curtain, really, both sides of the stage, you know, the critic and...
I was wondering about that, too, whether some... Joe maybe didn't like some of the reviews.
I was wondering that too, or if Christine didn't like some of the plays.
It is an honor and a pleasure to be on this show with Christine Dolan. I mean, she has been championing South Florida theater literally for decades. I mean, I first met Christine when she first came into town because I had worked with her father, who was a brilliant actor down here, Bill Hindman. He was a brilliant actor in New York as well, but came down here and was one of the best actors in South Florida and was one of the guiding lights of the Players Theater. And I directed there largely because having met Bill and worked with him, he brought me in. So he brought me back to theater in South Florida. That's how many years and how much history Christine has with theater.
That's amazing. Well, Christine, something I've always wondered, I mean, we're going to get to your background, your dad, all that. But I always wondered, how does one, and in this case, how did you become a critic? Was it your own desire? Did you say, I want to be a critic, or was it an assignment at first?
No, I don't know why, but I used to read reviews when I was a kid, probably because my dad was an actor. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and he did summer stock theater. So I was backstage a lot when I was a kid, and I knew that I liked writing, but I just was really interested in the arts. So thank goodness I was a lucky person. I got into the business when I did, and I could combine those two passions. You know, you talked about Joe and I sometimes maybe having a contentious relationship, which is not the case.
Right.
We've, you know, I think we have the deepest respect for each other, and we know that sometimes he won't like what I write, sometimes I won't like what he does, mm-hmm. but in the overarching theater world, you know, there's nothing but respect. But imagine my poor dad having a critic for a daughter.
But didn't you ever want to tread the boards?
Yeah. What about being becoming an actor yourself?
I tried it a little bit when I was in middle school and high school. And I am a very self-conscious person. So I knew that I wouldn't really be any good at it. I got lucky. I got a fellowship after I was already at the Herald. Mm. So I went away for a year and studied theater in California. The Herald gave me a leave of absence, and I just plunged myself into the world of theater. I took directing, acting, playwriting classes, design classes, and that's where I got my theater education. My background coming into criticism was as a journalist.
How did you know, or did you know at the time, that your opinions and your critiques would be so well respected and they'd carry so much weight? How does one know that?
I didn't know when I started. I just had a passion for it. I always felt that being a critic was like being in the graduate school that never ends, because I am so lucky to have been in the business when I was. I got to interview Tennessee Williams and Edward Albee and Arthur Miller and lately Nilo Cruz and Terrell Alvin McCraney and Marco Ramirez. I mean, amazing, amazing playwrights. And every little bit you do, every show you see, every advanced feature that you write, you learn something. So I think it's probably a function of having been in this region for such a long time and getting to know all the artists here. I mean, I think I've seen everything Joe's ever done at Gable Stage.
And even before that.
Many things before that. And I keep using the word lucky, but I do feel fortunate to have been able to do what my passion was for my entire career.
We're very lucky, too, Christine, to have you here. And I'm so pleased, and everyone I know in South Florida Theater is so pleased that we'll still have your voice and that you're still going to be there, often in the Herald, but always in Artburst. And that means so much. I mean, you have, when I say championing South Florida Theater, you've been doing that all these years and often taking up the cause of the new emerging theater companies that need that help so much. You're always there.
Joe Adler, a little thumbnail on you and your background, starting in Brooklyn. NYU also.
Well, and when I was at NYU, I was by that time in Manhattan. But starting in Brooklyn, and like so many of us, couldn't wait to get out of Brooklyn. Now I talk to the young actors; they can't afford Brooklyn. They want to get into
that's
Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Things change, but I still have a fondness for Brooklyn. So
tell us more. Give us a snapshot of your career. And I mean, we were just talking, so we were both. I was working for a film production company, Gomes Lowe.
Right.
You were at Doyle.
Doyle Dan Burnback. And I remember that your production company very well, very well. They did a lot of work for Doyle Dane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Doyle Dane, that was the time of the Mad Men. And exactly. It was the golden age of advertising of Madison Avenue.
And so what did you do there at Doyle Dane?
I was a producer and a director, and I was lucky. I handled a lot of European accounts. So I was doing Polaroid in Europe. I was doing Butoni in Italy. I had to smuggle instant pizza into Venice.
You won't tell anyone.
So it was an interesting time, and I was young, and it paid well. And my mother was heartsick when I decided to leave and make a film. She was so happy that here I was, with a theater and film major, and I actually had an office and a secretary, and I was making a living. So I said, "Yeah, but this isn't for me," and took a leave of absence to make a low budget horror movie here in South Florida, because I had moved here with my family when I was only 10.
What year was that?
That was, oh God, now I'm really going
to... Okay. Okay.
It was in the early 50s, and my family had a restaurant on Lincoln Road, and so we moved here, and so I spent my entire, from that period forward to my graduation from high school, here in South Florida. Then I went to NYU, and from there, I went to Carnegie Mellon, actually, in Pittsburgh for theater, and then from there to NYU, and then I stayed in New York, and then came back here to make this low-budget horror movie for the drive-ins. When I say low budget, you wouldn't believe how
drive-ins.
For the, well, in those days, that's where that's remember drive-ins, right?
What was the name?
Oh God, it was called Scream Baby Scream. And please don't look for it.
Okay, you know, is there anything? Is there anything on it on IMBD?
IMDb? Oh, there is. Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting. The plays that I've been involved with that I really am really pleased with. They close and it's over. The end. Goodbye. The films I've done that I wish would go away hound you and keep going forever. I took my son when he was young to a bookstore, and I took out, I think it was Leonard Maltin's book, and I went down to one of the films I'd done, and I showed it to him, and I said, look, I made a holiday film. There's a turkey next to it. So, you know, that's not, that's, those were not, they were great experiences, and some better than others, none really what I would call good, none memorable. But I gradually migrated into doing commercials, industrial films, and theater, which has always been my first love.
I think each of you, maybe, to give us your take on what South Florida theater scene was like when you arrived here and when you first started, when you were first involved in it, what did it look like then? Christine?
I came here at the beginning of 1976 from Detroit, and there wasn't a lot. There was Zev Buffman presenting Broadway stuff. There was Ruth Foreman. There were a few other things. It was fairly meager, but the scene today bears no resemblance to that. It's so much richer, fuller, more exciting, more innovative.
And Joan?
Well, you know, I studied with Sam Hirsch when I was young. As a matter of fact, Sam took me because I was one of his more dedicated and promising students, I guess, to the opening night with he and his wife Rose of Waiting for Godot at the Coconut Grove Playhouse. I will never forget it. People walked out during the first act, during intermission, the rest, almost all of the rest left by the end of the play. It was, you know, it was maybe 20% of the audience was there. The next day, the paper said, how dare this man, George Engel, open this beautiful new theater and bring us this horrible play? Well, I was so moved, even at that age, by it, that I played sick the next day, stayed home and wrote my take on Beckett, you know, and that kind of theater. And the response was unbelievably bad. And the play, as we know, is one of the great plays of certainly of the last century. So, you know, it was not a proud moment for the Coconut Grove Playhouse.
We just want to add here that was the U.S. premiere of Waiting for Godot.
It was the U.S. premiere.
And that was 1959.
Improbably so.
Yeah, and the cast was exceptional. I mean, I still remember it. Bert Lahr and Tom Ewell, you know, playing the leads. I mean, it was an incredible evening. I mean, I remember pulling up to the theater and they had Klieg lights in the sky. It was a big event because that theater had just been converted into a legit house. It had been a movie theater since 1926. So my history with the Playhouse goes back to the first night when it opened.
We're speaking with, that's the voice of Joe Adler. He's one of the most significant figures in the South Florida theater industry now as producing artistic director at Gable Stage for the last 18 years. Also with us, Christine Dolan, journalist, the theater critic for the Miami Herald for 36 years, and now with Artburst, among other things. We'll hear about it. A short break on today's topical currents. We'll be right back.
And we're back 20 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman this afternoon were devoted to the theater, the South Florida theater scene, with Joseph Adler, of course, and also Christine Dolan.
Something I wonder about, Christine, because you have done so much to promote theater in South Florida, how difficult is it to walk a line or maintain your integrity and But a play is just not up to your standards, yet you want the theater company to survive. You want the play to make it. So how do you, how did you, or how do you still walk that line?
I think you, a critic has to keep in mind that her or his first responsibility is to the potential audience member, writing with respect for the artists and their effort. But if you pull back, if you go soft on something because you happen to know that this company is struggling right. or whatever, why would anyone ever trust your judgment mm-hmm. going forward? It is difficult, particularly if you're in a region as long as I and a few other critics here have been, because you do get to know the artists, the directors, the designers. You like them as people. You respect their passion. You've had many, many conversations with them for stories. But bottom line is you have to be honest. That also, though, there are many ways to say the same thing. So you can be destructive and cruel, or you can be honest but more supportive. That's, I think, the older I get, the latter is what I try to do more often.
Today, among professional circles, what sort of reputation does our three-county theater scene have?
I think it is regarded very well nationally. It's pretty vibrant. There are many, many theater companies. We have the Carbonell Awards that pay tribute every year to the great theater that's created here. It's not Chicago. It's not New York. But there are so many more companies than there used to be. I think last year for the Carbonells, we had something like 82 over 100 shows that were eligible for those awards. So during the season, we critics are often out 3 or 4, even 5 nights a week seeing theater here. And there are many, many solid companies, Joe's Gable Stage being one, Zoetic Stage being another, the new company, Miami New Drama, Thinking Cap Theater in Fort Lauderdale, Slow Burn Theater, Palm Beach Drama Works, the Maltz Jupiter Theater. I'm afraid to mention them because
right,
I'll leave
you may
some,
forget
some out. So my apologies, theater community, if I haven't mentioned your company.
I live in Miami Lakes.
Oh, yeah. The Main Street Playhouse is very yeah. nice. It's a community theater. It's,
right.
But it's a very high caliber community theater.
It's interesting because Joe asked how, you know, we're seeing this region for theater, but I'm wondering how you think the residents of South Florida see the theater scene, or if they're even aware generally or by and large of how vast it is.
I do think that's a huge problem. And during my years at the Herald, it used to just frustrate the heck out of me because I would go out and meet people and say what I did for a living, and they'd say, oh, is there theater in South Florida? Mm. And, you know, the Herald, I was so grateful to the Herald for its commitment to arts coverage and the space that it gave to arts coverage. It's continuing now to use my work that I create for Artburst Miami, which is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful entity that covers dance, theater, film, music, and supplies content to various publications. So when people contend that there isn't a theater scene in South Florida, I think some of them are just thinking about, okay, the Coconut Grove Playhouse closed 10 years ago. We don't have a major regional theater. Well, the fact is we have many wonderful regional theaters here. They just need to get out there and explore and experience live theater and the artists who live here. And also the theaters need to figure out how to connect more directly with their potential audiences.
And speaking of that, go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have been taking ads in the Miami Herald for 18 years, and they've gotten bigger and bigger. We've been advertising on WLRN for about 18 years mm-hmm. Doing everything we could to make an outreach to people in the community, and yet there are so many people who tell me we didn't know there was a theater
right.
in the Biltmore Hotel. Sometimes people come to meetings at the theater and say, they see our theater and they say, I'm so surprised. I didn't know you were here. So, you know, then I love it when I meet some people and say, we love theater. We go to London and we go to New York every year. So it's like London and New York, that's theater. Why would we go to theater in Miami? They don't understand what we do. They don't understand the caliber of what can be seen here. And the only thing we can do is try to get them, encourage them to come see a play and see if they might change their minds. But that's the constant work we have to do.
Is that one of the greatest challenges you have?
It's an ongoing challenge. That and trying to get that younger audience, which I think all the arts, I don't care what art form it is, what discipline, we all have that ongoing problem to try to find a way to get that young audience. And I don't think we've solved it yet, but it's not for lack of trying. For example, the play that we're doing now, The Royale, written by a young man from Hialeah. Christine knows him, and I've known him since he was in high school because he grew up in Hialeah, was schooled in Miami-Dade County Public Schools, came to our theater to see Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men when he was in 11th grade. Huh. We did that show and had 3 busloads of kids come in, 150 kids every morning at 10 a.m. He was one of them, and he told me that was the first legit show, non-children's theater, that he'd seen, and that it had a big effect on him. And that's why that program we do, all of the arts groups do for students, is so important. So Marco is a case in point of somebody who went on to NYU Theater School and then to Juilliard. And now he's a successful writer in California, writing some of the biggest television shows and under contract to no less than Marvel. So, it's a success story, very much like Terrell McCraney. Mm-hmm. And we've done 4 plays with Terrell McCraney over the last years, 2 of them his original plays and 2 of them his adaptations of Shakespeare. So, and Terrell is now an internationally known playwright. Also schooled in Miami-Dade County Public Schools, including New World School of the Arts, which is a terrific resource for those of us in theater. And that's when you talk about the differences right now, and Christine is so right about the number of theaters. And because of the number of theaters, the number of actors who are here committed to living in South Florida has grown so much through the years. And I'm talking about people every bit as good as the people you can see in New York or London. I've been going to theater in New York. I've gone often in London. I've gone all over this country. Whenever I'm in a city, I make a point of seeing a play at a regional theater. And I'll stack up the actors we have here against any of those cities. We may not have quite as many yet, but it's grown exponentially because the work is there. Theaters like us have made a commitment, a firm commitment, to utilize South Florida talent. And that's so important.
Is that important to you, the local component? How important? Yes.
It's crucial, first of all, because it helps this community grow. The more you utilize them, the longer they will stay in town and not have to leave. The more who come in will want to migrate and come to South Florida to live. That's what makes this community grow. And it's because of the commitment of theaters like us to utilize the South Florida talent that it's been so successful. I think that's been a major, major factor.
Would that encourage more filmmaking as well?
Well, I think the filmmaking, the only problem we're having now with filmmaking, as I'm sure you know, is that the Tallahassee pulled back on on the advantages to shooting here. Why, I don't know, because it's such a great industry for South Florida.
Advertising creating jobs.
Creates jobs, creates publicity for us. It's a clean industry. I have no idea why, but that's hurting. But meanwhile, when they are here, and they're here now doing Bloodline, for example, so many of the actors that we work with have been getting roles, and good ones on those shows. So it's been good. That's one of the reasons they were coming here. We have a resource for them.
Do you have more productions of Royale scheduled?
It closes on Sunday. There are 5 more productions.
Okay.
Five more performances.
Can I give a shameless plug?
Please.
Okay. Because I was there. And for its content, for its production value, for the lighting, for the writing, for the choreography, for the rhythm, for the story, and the relevance that it has in today. It takes place at the turn, well, a little after the turn of the 20th century, but it's very relevant still today. Christine?
Absolutely.
Could I have written that critique?
Yes, you could. it's really, Joe's work is always very high caliber, but this is one of the finest productions I've seen at Gable Stage in quite a long time. Part of it is the magic of Marco Ramirez's writing and imagination. And then part of it is the way that Joe and his incredible cast and his collaborators brought it to life. But the Royale is very, very special.
Yes, yeah, so we recommend it. That cast is amazing.
That means so much to me, hearing it from you. And it's been a great experience. And this is a perfect example of what I meant earlier, when something you really would like to see hang around for a while is closing.
Why does it have to close?
Well, because our system, which involves subscriptions, makes it impossible, really, to hold a play over, because the actors have already been booked for the next start of rehearsal. Mm. The set has to be constructed. The seats have already been reserved in many cases. So holding over causes a huge problem, to say nothing of the fact that the only way to do it successfully is to have an adequate advertising budget to let someone know. But the business plan does not really allow for that. Now, that's something that will change at the Coconut Grove Playhouse, because right now at the Biltmore, we build our sets on the stage. We don't have a rehearsal hall or a place to build the sets. And so the turnaround time is a little bit longer than it would otherwise be. So that's another reason we can't hold over. But that will all change when we get into the new facility, new venue.
Did you want to weigh in on that?
I just wanted to give a shout out to one other production that's going to close this Sunday. Slowburn Theater, which now makes its home in the Broward Center's Amaturo Theater, is doing Heathers, the musical. Now, that might not sound like much, but the themes of that piece, in light of what happened in Orlando, are so worth contemplating, and it's an excellent production all the way around, and it's getting that elusive younger audience. So I don't know how many seats they might have left, but if you have a chance, I would see the Royale and Heather's the musical.
I want to just say that Richard writes, I became enamored of Slowburn Theater for a few years ago when I trekked up to a high school in Boca to see an exquisite production of Jason Robert Brown's Parade.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
I'm thrilled that they're now performing at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts and State of the Art. The ensemble work is impeccable, young, fresh talent, New York quality, and talks about seeing and that Heather is playing there.
Heather's
is playing there now.
You know, it's interesting because the Royale is drawing more younger people than almost any other show we've done. The county has an incredible program, Culture Shock, where students can buy tickets for $5. And that's not just for theater. That's also for the opera, the ballet, almost all the art forms when they're posted. Not enough of the kids take advantage of that. They have in greater numbers for this play. So it's interesting that with a play like Heather's and a play like the Royale, they will turn out in greater numbers. But the important thing is, when we get them there, to keep them and have them keep coming back.
Right.
Those two plays have obvious appeal. They're very accessible to that age group. Mm-hmm. And, we can't do only plays based on movies like Heather's that they're all familiar with. So, how do we get them to keep coming back? And how do we get them to come see things that they may be less comfortable with or less familiar with? That's the trick.
Hmm. We're speaking with Joseph Adler, the producing artistic director at Gable Stage for the last 18 years, among many other things, and journalist Christine Dolan. She was with the Miami Herald for 36 years and now with Artburst Miami, among other things. A short break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman on this Tuesday afternoon. We resume our conversation about the South Florida theater scene with Christine Dolan and Joseph Adler. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in the conversation, if you'd like to say hello, if you have a comment or question, 1-800...
Or kudos.
1-800-743, or PANS, 9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Also, email, that's a little quicker, radio@wlrn.org. Now, let's get an update on this historic Coconut Grove Playhouse situation. Bonnie, you have a statement from
Michael
Spring.
Okay, yes,
Polly
got this. This is what Michael Spring has said, so this would be our launching our launching pad.
The county's chief arts director.
Yes, the director of Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. He says, Gable Stage has an operating agreement with Miami-Dade County to make Coconut Grove Playhouse their permanent home once the work is completed.
Now, is that the catch, once the work is completed?
Joe?
Well, that is obviously a factor, yes. But I'm really happy to say that we're making progress. And I mean making progress every day, every week. There have been group phone conversations regularly on every Wednesday with many of the people involved. And when I say people involved, companies like Fisher Dax in New York, one of the leading designers of theaters in the country, is involved in creating this venue, as is Arquitectonica, right, with George Fernandez, who's not just a terrific architect, but a terrific architect when it comes to preservation, historic preservation. So, this is an ongoing work. People on many levels have been involved now for a very long time, and I can honestly say that we're starting to have progress on a weekly basis. And our goal is to and by the way, our other partner is, of course, Florida International University. And we're going to start to have the architectural engineering work completed and up for construction bids as early as 2017. So it's going to happen, and it's going to happen with greater, the pace is picking up. I guess that's the important thing. And we'll have a contractor on board, and we'll be on the way to the new 300-seat state-of-the-art theater at the site of the Coconut Grove Playhouse. It's been a long time coming.
It would be so wonderful to see that again and have it all refurbished.
Yeah,
it would be. And, when you say refurbished, we're not going to have 1,100 seats. It's not going to be like the old Coconut Grove Playhouse. But it's going to be a new, beautiful new theater, 300 seats, because we need to maintain that intimacy. You know, I think if we went more than 300 seats, the audience that we developed would not be happy. Our theater now is so incredibly intimate.
Right.
And, the kind of theater that we do, it's nice to have a space that where the people are, the people in the back row of our theater are closer to the stage than the people in the front row are in a Broadway house. So that kind of thing we need to maintain. And we can maintain it if we just go to 300. Larger than that, it'll be a whole different ballgame. So we're very happy to go to 300 seats.
Christine, you want to weigh in on Coconut Grove?
Gosh. Broke my heart when it closed. It was a shock to me and everybody else. I had many fond memories of reviewing there for so many years. And my father acted there. He starred in the play Da and other shows there. So I was sorry to see that happen. After it had been closed for a couple of years, I used to joke, I bet this won't reopen before I retire. And I thought I was joking, but I was apparently prophetic.
Although in truth, you haven't retired. So.
No, I'm just working in different formats now. But I give huge amount of credit to Michael Spring and the Department of Cultural Affairs for just pushing forward through controversy sometimes when other people might have given up to make this new Coconut Grove Playhouse happen. And I do think that Joe's right that for his company, it needs to be a 300-seat theater, not an 1,100-seat theater. That's a Broadway-scale house. And in almost any region, it would be difficult to produce in that size theater. So I will be, I hope, in the opening night audience when Joe does his first show there.
I sure look forward to that. I directed at the Coconut Grove Playhouse. I think the year was 1979, and I did a play that had won a Pulitzer called The Shadow Box, which went on to win the Carbonell at that time for Best Play, and I got Best Director. So I have experience at that theater, the theater as it was when it closed, and I can attest to the fact that it was not an adequate space even back then. It was a converted movie house, so there were a lot of things that that were not there that should be there for a state of the art theater. But it was a great place to do a play, and the audience was terrific. And so I'm really looking forward to being able to get back there.
Christine, you mentioned you're doing other formats now because you have retired from the Herald, but your articles are still picked up by the Herald. But describe Artburst, what they're doing, and what's it like not writing? I mean, you are doing stuff for the Sun Sentinel still, but what's it like basically not writing for a newspaper? What's that like?
It's strange, but I am so fortunate to have had Artburst decide, yes, we're going to add theater coverage to our portfolio at the time that I retired. Newspapers, as everybody knows, are changing very rapidly,
right,
and shedding some staff and reprioritizing and doing everything they can to survive. The Herald kept and the Sun Sentinel have kept their commitments to having arts coverage, but they can't always keep a staff to do that. So Artburst, which is run by the Department of Cultural Affairs in part, pays writers and then provides art content for free to these news outlets. So it's a brave, new, exciting world. I have a wonderful editor, Anne Tashita, and I'm so happy to be able to keep doing what I love doing. But I'm glad that my work appears
in
print.
So in a way, your readership, though, is actually growing in a wider area.
It kind of is, because my work is now published in Dade County in the Miami Herald and in Broward in the Sun Sentinel, where I am the backup critic to Rod Hagwood, who's the staff critic. So, you know, I'm busier than ever, but doing only the things I love doing.
What a world.
Yes.
I think it's particularly noteworthy that Artburst is created by, in large part, the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs and the mayor and the county commissioners. I mean, it's just another example of their commitment to the arts. And this is something where the outreach, this is not just something that benefits Miami-Dade County. For example, Miami-Dade County has been the biggest, and at some time, many times, the only supporter of the South Florida Theater League. And the South Florida Theater League encompasses every theater within four counties. And it's Miami-Dade County that has been the prime supporter. So the department, I can't underestimate the importance of the Department of Cultural Affairs to the arts, to theater, to this town. And the fact that Michael Spring has had to work with many, and his department, which is terrific, with many different commissioners mm-hmm. and mayors through the years. And somehow they're all there for us. So, I think we can be fairly confident they will continue to be there for us because they recognize how important this is for this town.
And
this.
Also, Joe, it's not just theater that's growing here. It's all the art forms. And exactly. How sad to have a robust, growing arts community at the same time that traditional coverage is shrinking. Mm-hmm. So that's where Artburst Miami
Incredible.
Stepped into that gap.
And that is the voice of Christine Dolan, journalist who was the theater critic for the Miami Herald for 36 years, currently writes for Artburst Miami. And that's distributed also or run in the Miami Herald and the Sun Sentinel. Also, Joe Adler, a significant figure in South Florida theater industry for many years, producing artistic director at Gable Stage. A short break.
And we return 47 minutes past 1 o'clock. It's today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're focusing on the South Florida theater scene this afternoon with two very important figures in it, longtime figures, Joseph Adler and Christine Dolan. We'll take a few calls as promised. First up, we have Ray in Miami. Hey there.
Hey, I was one of the few who did not walk out at Waiting for Godot. 1956, and as Brooklyn Boy to Brooklyn Boy, Joe, I'm the guy who hugged you on Father's Day, Ray Palmell.
I love you, Ray. Thanks.
I love you, too. And Christine, I was president of Screen Actors Guild, so I saw many productions of your dad. I saw Da. Everything he did was just first class. And we are so blessed in this community to have two people like you who are consistent in high-caliber production. and it's just a blessing. And the production of the Royale was super. It's a must-see. I just would advise everybody to go see it.
I second that, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Okay, take care. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. But I enjoy listening to you both. Thank you so much.
Okay, and we'll move along to Broward caller. This is Adam and Davey. Hi.
Hi, man.
Hi, go ahead, Adam.
Hi, guys. I, once again, don't want to take up too much of your time either. I just wanted to give some what I believe to be much-deserved kudos. Ms. Dolan, I wanted to thank you personally for covering the Micro Theater Miami last year, doing your write-up, as well as your write-up on the Fort Lauderdale Fringe Festival, which was the first Fort Lauderdale Fringe Festival ever. I think your sense of outreach and your duty to inform people of what we have to offer here is, just as Joe was saying, to that wit, exactly what we need to bring in the kind of big jobs that actors need. I did a turn on Graceland last year, and it was unfortunately canceled. But as Joe was saying, you know, Bloodline and other large shows that film down here are our bread and butter. And Joe, you have a beautiful house, Gable Stage. I stopped in. We met up a couple months ago. I dropped you an email.
Yes.
Keep doing what you're doing. We definitely need you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay. Thank you, Adam.
And one more. We're a little short on time. Rod in Miami. Hi.
Hello, Joe and Rod Ball. I've met you any number of times. I try to make it a point to say hello every time I get over to the Gable Stage, or previous to that, the Miami Shores. You had the theater, converted cinema up there, too.
Hi, Rod.
Mm-hmm. Hello, and also, Christine, I've never met you, but I knew your father pretty well, and you were talking about his theater background. He also played the coach in Porky.
He sure did.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got to know him very, very well. I was one of the teenage kids in the film.
Oh, my goodness.
We worked for months and months together, and then later he and I and Clarence Thomas, who I believe you both know, and Jody Wilson, Herb Goldstein, Hal Bergman, we formed a group called the Professional Actors Association of Florida. And so your father was a mentor of mine, and I thought I'd mention that, and I'm really enjoying the conversation today.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, thanks
that was
for
a
calling.
Great man.
Thanks for
Thank
calling,
you.
Rod.
Sure.
Yeah. You have an email there?
We do. Let's see. Margie wants to know why there's no theater community in Kendall. I always thought the Town and Country Mall would be a really good place to start.
Isn't that where Actors Playhouse was before they went to the Miracle Theater on Miracle Mile?
It is. And,
it is.
And now, I mean, this isn't Kendall, but the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, which was also done by Architectonica, is a gorgeous facility in South Miami-Dade now. There are two companies that make their home there, New Theater, which has been there for a couple of years now, and Ground Up and Rising, which is a very edgy, wonderful company that is going to start performing there next month. So there are some far South Dade options.
And by the way, a lot of people think it's really far South Dade. You don't need a vaccination. you don't need a passport to get there. It is not that far, believe me. It's amazing how quickly I'm able to get there. So it's a great new facility, and I think you should check it out if you haven't.
It's beautiful.
Before we get to the Carbonell Awards, because I know you're still working with those, Joe, what's coming up at Gable Stage?
Interestingly enough, the play that's coming up next, which is called Stalking the Boogeyman, it's going to run from July 30th to August 28th, is based on something that was first aired, a thriller. It's based on a true story that first aired on NPR's This American Life.
Of course.
So
yeah.
It should be of particular interest to the many people who are listening, who listen to This American Life. And it's a play that was a big success off Broadway in New York. The New York Times called it breathtaking. It was a Times pick. So we're looking forward to doing that. That will be the next play. And then the final play of the season is a play that was a huge smash hit. It went from off Broadway, where I first saw it, to Broadway, and it's called Hand to God by Robert Askins. Terrific comedy, a very irreverent comedy, and that will close out this season.
Joe, when you have these irreverent plays, or as we call it, the cutting edge theater, do you ever get any, is that challenging for you? Do you ever get any resistance from either the audience or...
We've been amazingly fortunate. We have a terrific core audience that has been so supportive in so many ways. And they've let us, push the envelope. And they've been there with us. So we've taken some things that would have been considered chancy, and that people who in other towns, when they hear what we're doing, they say, how can you do those plays? And we have an audience that's there for us, and I'm so grateful to them. We're in the middle of a new resubscription drive now, and when those envelopes come in, even before we fully announce next season and everything that we're doing, even the dates, they resubscribe. It literally, and make many times donations on top of their cost of the subscription. It literally often brings tears to my eyes. That's how supportive they are and how grateful we are.
Christine, tell us about, you're still involved. You were one of the early figures in the creation of the Carbonell Awards.
Yes.
And what are you still doing now with them?
I am one of the judges. We have a two-tier system. When a show opens, if it has enough performances to be eligible for the awards, a panel goes out opening weekend and sees it, and they each send in private, anonymous, well, they're not anonymous, but they don't share their opinions. They send in their ballots, and if they agree on enough categories, then the judges are told, you have to go see this show. So we judges go out in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, and we get together after the first of the year. We make our nominations and have a slate of performers and directors and playwrights and designers. And then in April, the Carbonell Awards happen. And I'm happy to say the Carbonell's just celebrated its 40th anniversary. Mm. And so many actors, not just here, but all around the country, will put in their playbill bios that they won a Carbonell Award. It has a wonderful national reputation.
Which is great.
What's the origin of the name?
Oh, it's named for the sculptor, Manuel Carbonell, who designed the award, which it's beautiful. It looks sort of like an egg tilted to the side with a hole through the middle. It's really beautiful sculpture. And he has since passed away, but we honor him in perpetuity by calling it the Carbonell Awards.
And the next performance you expect to attend and write about?
Aha! Probably I'm going on vacation, then I'm going to go see Broadway Bound at Stage Door Theater. I'm going to go see Buyer and Seller at Actors Playhouse, and then Stalking the Boogeyman at Gable Stage.
And anything else coming up?
Oh, my goodness.
So much.
I have a five-page list here of things that are happening. Palm Beach Drama Works is doing a very creative production of 1776 this summer. Forever Plaids at the Wick Theater. Ground Up and Rising is down at South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Summer Shorts is still going on. The International Hispanic Theater Festival is happening. As you see, I'm an enthusiast.
Are we going to ever get Hamilton?
Sure, in a couple years. I did see it in New York, though.
We have
it's awards time now.
Awards time. Okay, we're going to give awards. We've been speaking, it's been South Florida Theater today. We've been speaking with journalist Christine Dolan. She was the theater critic for the Miami Herald for 36 years. Currently writes for Artburst Miami. It's a multi-platform media bureau for the arts in Miami-Dade County. And the Herald, the Sun Sentinel, on her list. She was one of the early figures in the creation of the Carbonell Awards. Received the group's highest honor, the George Abbott Award, in 2001. And she was a charter member, later president of the South Florida Critics Circle. She served as an officer of the American Theater Critics Association. She has served as a judge for the Pulitzer Prize, receiving national awards and being named one of the 12 most influential critics in the country in 2011 by American Theater Magazine. Christine, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Joe Adler is one of the most significant figures in the South Florida theater industry. He's currently producing artistic director at Gable Stage. He's previously directed at numerous other theaters, including Coconut Grove Playhouse, New Theater, Area Stage, Florida Shakespeare Theater, and City Theater. His long list of awards and honors includes 59 Carbonell Awards, 197 Carbonell nominations, a Clio, a Remy, a Silver Palm, and the prestigious George Abbott Award, also for significant contributions to the artistic life and cultural development of Greater Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Palm Beaches.
And the envelope,
Joseph
please.
Adler, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here and to share the microphone with Christine Dolan.
Same here. Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our callers, of course. Today's edition was produced by Polly Landis with technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Richard Ives is lead producer. And as always, free audio archives available at our website, WLRN.org. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it's live coverage of the Miami-Dade School Board meeting. Monday, Bonnie and I return with a program that looks at how many popular sports develop. Well, some fascinating examples, of course. Also, Thursday, resident chef Linda Gastenheimer tells how the non-native venomous predator, the lionfish, is best controlled by serving it.